Assalamu alaikum. Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
This is Dr. Ridgely Abdul Mukmin Muhammad. This is not Minister Ava tonight. She has an emergency, and it will be me and hopefully Brother Terrence will be able to come in as well. Brother Terrence, are you on?
Yes, I am. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, praise be to Allah. We want to thank everyone for coming to Elevated Places, and we want to remind everyone, and we thank Dr. Ridgely for signing us on, and we apologize for any inconvenience that has been occurred by you. But we are here live, Elevated Places. Call-in number is 347-324-5091, area code 347-324-5091. Once again, you are on Elevated Places. Our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, had an emergency that she had to handle, but you're here with myself, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and our guest contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and we're once again having our dynamic discussion, and tonight we're going to have a recap of what was going on with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Bowie State University, as well as getting prepared for this upcoming presidential election. As we know, the election is coming soon, November 6th. Dr. Richard, before we get to introduce, hopefully our guests have gotten on. I will find out in a second if they are here with us, but we want to just kind of go back over some of the things, and you can add on after I finish, Dr. Ridgely, of things that are out there right now in the news. And as I already stated, the hype and the intensity has grown. I know here in the state of North Carolina we have early voting, same day, you know, you can register the same day and vote the same day up until November 3rd. As well as we know, the election is November 6th. Some say it is coming down to the wire. Some people are not knowing what the outcome will be, but I think that we should continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, see what he has to say about it, because I think, as he said, regardless who gets in their office, neither one can solve it of America. But also, we want to also send prayers out to the families and those that have suffered any kind of loss of lives or damaged homes due to the hurricane that hit the East Coast. And one of the things that made me think about it, I must pay attention to the sisters, because Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Fran, and Hurricane Sandy has caused destruction, and we want to pray that all of the believers and the people of these eastern seaboard are okay. Some are still without electricity. Some are still without heat. So I would say to all people, please get prepared and prepare your survival kit, because we are not living in a safe time. We're living in a dangerous time. So get all of the necessities that you need to be in your homes, if necessary, without electricity and being able to go to the stores. And last but not least, before I let Dr. Ridgely to add on, we do want to remind everybody that tomorrow night the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be at Tennessee State. And you can go to NOI.org to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's tomorrow night, I believe, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be at Tennessee State. And we know back in April, he was not allowed to come visit the campus, and he spoke at the church when he was on the college tour from Alabama A&M to Des Moines to Pine Bluff. So the chancellor, the president of the school, has allowed him to come back to the university and come to speak. So we're thankful. We're thankful that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is able to come back on to the campus. So, Dr. Ridger, did you have any news that you wanted to add before I welcome our guest onto the show?
Well, just that, as you mentioned about that storm, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has warned us to watch the weather. And as they was talking about this, they called it Frankenstorm. And you know, a storm has an eye. It was 25 miles wide. The diameter of the effect was between 700 and 900 miles, but this eye looked like it had eyes because it took a beeline straight to the gambling casinos and Atlantic City. So it's interesting. They was talking about it removed the beach, but actually it looked like, from looking at the pictures, the beach just moved inland. Because there's nothing but sand where people's houses were, all over sand all around the houses. So nature, and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has told us that our God, when he fights, he will use the forces of nature. And you have nothing, we have nothing that can compete or prevent. The best thing you can do is be right and then try to get out the way. As you know, they moved all the ships out of the Norfolk, Virginia area. All of the military ships, they moved out to sea. It shut down all the airports. So you can see the power of this storm will stop an army, will stop a navy, will stop an air force. So we, in the Nation of Islam, we believe that there's a God that that can control those things, and we believe that he's upset with America, and this is why we need to get our act together and produce some daylight between us and America, find a nice place to huddle up together as a group and let the storm blow over instead of us being right in the middle of the enemy and getting hit as Allah is hitting the enemy. So as a farmer, we always pay attention to the weather, and we know that Mother Nature is the power in terms of on the planet and our life. So it is not good to be upset with her father, God. So that's all I have to say. I just pray a lot that all the Muslims and our people were safe, and we take this as a lesson to be prepared and also to reduce some daylight between us and the enemy. So thank you very much, Brother Terrence. I'm glad you're here, that I don't have to carry it. Thank Allah for you.
Well, all praises due to Allah. We're thankful, and once again, you are tuned in to Elevated Places. Our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad, had an emergency that she had to deal with, but we, as we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, not to be personality worshipers, but we're thankful to Dr. Ava for having the show Elevated Places, so that we don't want you to be turned off and not call in and be a part of this talk show. So please, honor Dr. Ava Muhammad by making sure that you continue to call in tonight as we discuss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's trip to Bowie State and this upcoming presidential election. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your calls, and that number is 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. So I'm in a beautiful transition place. I just left my particular wonderful campus of North Carolina A&T State University, and actually I'm still here. And I was invited by the NAACP, the college chapter of the NAACP, to speak on the elections. Which party is better, the Democratic or the Republicans? Is there a conspiracy theory? So we was having this discussion with some students, and I had to leave out to come to Elevated Places because tonight's guest, we have a brother that's on here that's a recent graduate of, sometimes we will say, our rivalry of that great institution, and I love all my HBCUs, but he's a graduate of that wonderful HBCU in D.C., Howard University, where he's a recent graduate, and he was one of the instrumental people of bringing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last year to Howard University, and former president and coordinator of the Nation of Islam Student Association there on that campus. He recently obtained his Master's of Arts in Teaching from New York University, and he's also a public, he's a teaching as a public at a public charter school in Raleigh, North Carolina, Torchlight Academy. So we want to first welcome our first guest, Brother Abdul Jalil Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jalil.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for coming on. And we can't leave out our next guest and our brother, who is instrumental to a wonderful organization. This brother is a faculty member at Bowie State and serves as an advisor to Bowie State University campus group, the Black Male Agenda. And just the name of that is, just the name of that, it says a whole lot. And I would like to know more about this group, the Black Male Agenda, because we definitely know at the number one dropouts and the number one being exposed in schools and the one number one in the prison system, we do need a Black Male Agenda. So we have our brother, Brother Raymond Shorter, a faculty member at Bowie State University on our call. Thank you, Brother Raymond, for coming on Elevated Places.
It's an honor, brother. It's an honor.
Well, we're going to go right into it and jump right into the discussion. I'm not going to wait. We already know, and we once again thank Brother Jalil for the work that he did at Howard University, because not only did the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan come to the university last year, but there was a conference going on during that particular time. And I know there was a large number of universities that were there. And we know later that it went on, the minister went to Prairie View out in Texas and later out into California to Berkeley and then Alabama A&M, Lemoyne, Pine Bluff, going to Tennessee State now and going to Bowie just a couple of weeks ago. Well, last week, and I was so sad I couldn't make it, but it was during our homecoming. But I want to hear from Brother Jalil first about what was the backdrop of getting the minister, not necessarily the opposition, but kind of give a brief story about, you know, I knew Bowie has been wanting to have the minister there. And then, Brother Raymond, you can just talk about the excitement and the spirit and the attitude of the students as the minister did finally get to Bowie State. Brother Jalil?
Yes, well, thank you, Brother Terrence. The minister has been absent from college, Black college campuses and universities for approximately 15 years. And that's not because the minister hasn't wanted to come. And it hasn't necessarily been because the students haven't wanted the minister to come. But there have always been forces preventing the minister from getting to where he needs to go and to speak to students. Well, the students at Howard were organizing a conference where they were convening students from all over the country, all of the HBCUs throughout the nation. And they were convening these HBCU student leaders. And there was a culminating event that was being planned that I suggested we have Minister Farrakhan speak at. The students were convened in Washington, D.C. for an entire week. And the last day, a recommendation was made to have Minister Farrakhan address them. Nothing special was done at Howard. Nothing special was done by the students. The students simply made a request, sent an invitation to Minister Farrakhan, and he came. And what Minister Khan's visit to Howard University proved to students all over the country was that if you are courageous enough to extend an invitation to a man like Minister Farrakhan, he being as genuine and sincere as he is will accept the invitation and come. Now, it sounds simple, but it was a revolutionary act, and it has had a revolutionary effect all over the country. Bowie State was one of those institutions invited to the conference at Howard. And they heard Minister Farrakhan. The students heard Minister Farrakhan. They received his message gladly. And the rest is history.
Thank you, Brother Jalil, for that backdrop. So, Brother Shorter, Brother Raymond, so what was that feeling, you know, being an advisor? And I know, you know, you get those private sessions and sit-downs with the students in your office. And, you know, what was the atmosphere of the minister coming during the address and after the minister left?
Well, I want to say this first. There's another student on from Bowie State University is also on the line, Brandon Jones.
Yes.
Okay. And he can also talk a little bit even more from the student perspective. But one of the things that I can say that in the whole developmental process of this, whether it was the assistants from the staff as well as the students, it was electrifying. I mean, to be able to have the greatest leader for us of our time, it was just magnificent. Everyone pulled together with the resources, with the support. The students as soon as tickets went on, was being able to be distributed. The students was ready to get their tickets. They was ready. Some of them have never seen the minister before. Some of them have never heard of the minister before. But they knew that this was a great man of importance because of the marketing and the advertisement that we did to expose to a lot of people. There were a lot of people who did know who the minister was. And when people found out that he was coming or in the process of coming before the tickets were being distributed, they was ready. They was wondering when, because they want to hear them. And they want to, regardless of what other negative connotations there was out in the media and so forth, they want to come and hear for themselves this great leader. And it was one of the greatest moments. And I still, even afterwards, people in the community, a lot of the students were so were so excited. It transformed and changed their lives. A lot of the faculty and staff were just so overwhelmed, and they continued to thank myself as well as some of the other student organizers so much for having the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on our campus. It was just one of the greatest moments in our lives. It was that impacting. And I don't know how to continue to convey exactly how much of an impact that he has made on our lives in this short time period when he was here on this campus. It was just beautiful, and the students was just so overwhelmed, and they continue to this day to talk about him, and they want him to come back. They want more. They wanted him to speak longer because he spoke for a while. But they wanted more and more. They didn't want him to leave, and that's the love that they shown for him, and they want him back.
And, you know, it's interesting that you said that because one of the things that I remember in 2005, speaking to some students, you know, in college, and a brother introduced me to talk about the Millions More movement, and he said, well, yeah, 10 years ago I was in elementary or middle school. And I had to realize that, yes, you know, 1995, the Million Man March that we hold so dear, that a lot of young people were not alive. They were not around to see the majesty of the Million Man March, or they were not around in the 90s to hear this fire of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his strong teachings when he was on the college campuses. So I remember just recently as the minister is going out in the streets of the communities in Chicago, he went into the streets of New York City, most of the boroughs, He went to a high school in New Jersey and spoke to about 1,000 high schoolers who have never heard of Minister Farrakhan, but when he was about to leave, they was like, no, stay. So
great.
It's interesting to hear that same kind of cry from the college students.
Absolutely.
Who is this man? And I still want to hear from him. And before I go to the caller we have, can you just talk to me about this blackmail? I just lost the name of it.
Blackmail agenda.
Yeah, blackmail agenda.
And one of the other guests, Brandon Jones, he is a member of Blackmail Agenda.
Okay,
and
great.
I would like for him to explain what Blackmail Agenda is.
Okay, I didn't know you was on, Brandon, but yeah, I hear you're a student leader on the campus of Bowie State and an active member of Blackmail Agenda. And I apologize, I didn't know you was on the line, but yes, go ahead. Brandon, are you there?
Somehow he was just on. He must got disconnected. But I will explain what Blackmail Agenda is. Blackmail Agenda is an African-centered blackmail organization to help black males to end up become in a higher state of leadership. And so they can work specifically with the liberation and the salvation of the black nation. That is their focus, is to help their peoples, to help their peoples to rise to a higher level of spiritual consciousness, because it's something that we need as individuals, and these are for black men, these college students, to end up taking that stand. And we use the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as our model of how you should have love for your peoples and put in the work to be able to do whatever it takes to give your peoples a good, thorough knowledge of themselves so they can master themselves and continue to cultivate and to become one and the same with the Creator. That is their purpose and their focus, and they do whatever it takes to get to that level. And so they work. They work.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because at a historical black college, it's interesting that, you know, the liberation of black people is not necessarily always at a black college. And we
you're right about that.
Yeah, and it's good that those programs and things like that are on the campus and have good advisory support. We are here at Elevated Places. Our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad, is not able to be with us tonight, but we still want you to call in. That call-in number is 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. And I see that our brother Brandon is back on, and we will come back to you in a second. But we want to go ahead and hear from our first caller, Dr. Jahid. If you can come on, and welcome to Elevated Places.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm great, great. I know the brother Raymond. I met him last year when I was at the ASCEC conference.
Yes.
Presented as a positive black man. Look, I wish that I was teaching at Bowie State, because the brother was so excited. And he said, I'm so happy to be black. You don't see black men standing up like that, particularly at historically black colleges nowadays. And I think I was presenting my paper on the ethnic cleansing of HBCUs, an article that I had written. And I know you guys are dealing with this brother right now. I'm not going to say much, but Brother Ali has been begging me to call and talk about my case at Delaware State, where I'm facing more than 2 years imprisonment for simply supporting a student's First Amendment right to protest. I was with Brother Raymond. You may not know this, but last year, students from Bowie organized a protest to go to the governor's mansion regarding the ongoing legal issue that where all the HBCUs in Maryland
yes.
are suing the state for $2 billion.
Yes.
What I did, I asked about all of my classes to come, because a lot of the kids, they don't know anything about rallying and protesting, and I took about 20 students there with your student organization, a student organizer. I don't know if it was Raymond or not, but and it changed the kids' lives to the point where some of them helped to organize the March 1st protest at Dell State, where I was beat up and fired from the university. And now and I lost my job, and I'm now facing 2 years in jail. And but hopefully I can come back on and talk about that and the lynchings that are going on in Delaware, you know, in the vice president's hometown, in which War on the Horizon has documented that. These lynchings that are going on that I started investigating back in February of this year. And I believe that has some part to do with why they arrested me, because the ruling elite of the state did not want this information to get out during an election year. And but War on the Horizon made that happen. So I'm just happy to know that the students have mentors like the brother, positive black man, and loves black. I was just there for one day, but you felt the love and the organization that these young black men, they are African-centered. I saw it in action, and I was like, wow, why am I not teaching here? You know?
Yeah.
But I applied twice to Bowie, and I interviewed two times, but I guess they said that I was a bit too radical for the faculty.
Well, brother, we want to thank you for coming on Elevated Places, and we do have your contact number, and we will be getting back in contact with you. I know our sister, Dr. Ava, would like to hear more of your story, and so we want to thank you for that call.
Well, I do want to say this. Are you still there?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. I know there are a group of students at Dell State that want to bring the minister before the year is out, and so hey, I'm putting it out there. Also, if you have a contact with the minister, my article on the ethnic cleansing of historically black colleges is really the seminal study on the subject, on how government, along with the white elite, are purposely removing African Americans from these colleges all over the country. And so what we're looking at in about a 30-year period, we're going to always have historically black colleges. It just won't be black people on them. And so
right.
The students at Dell State, they've talked about it. There are some faculty that want to bring the minister. So hopefully we can partnership and make that happen within the next month.
Well, brother, once again, like I said, we do have your contact number, and I'll make sure that I get that to our brother Jaleel, who is, you know, was instrumental in bringing the minister to Howard, as well as helping with the contact for Bowie State. So we will make sure that we pass that on. So once again, we thank you for your call, and we will be reaching that back out to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you.
And, so I'm making brother, brother Terrence.
Yeah, brother.
The brother can also email me at drridge@bellsouth.net. You can send me the article, and then I can forward the article on to the research team. So if he would like to do that, he can. It's drridge@bellsouth.net.
Okay, Dr. Ridge. All right, I got it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yes.
So once again, we do have some callers lined up, but there's a couple of things I wanted to mention before I hear from our brother, Brother Brandon. Is that this whole issue, and I'm very, very, very thankful to Brother Raymond Shorter and to the Black Male Agenda, because one of the things that was told to me by a brother, one of our ancestors there, Dale Jones, one of the authors, we used to have a third Thursday lecture series on our campus at A&T from 1994 to 2004, and we had predominant black scholars, Oshawa Kwesi, Renoko Rashidi back in the day, Steve Coakley. We had prominent leaders and Tony Browder, people that are in our black scholarship that have been on the campus, and they were saying that you're one of the few campuses that still bring black scholarship on campus. And I say that to say that as we're looking at black colleges all around and we're looking at the demise of black bookstores, there are no more black bookstores, and as we were saying that in black colleges, the mindset of the students are not even black anymore, and they are actually bringing in more and more white students to almost white in the black colleges. And also, you know, we all really know that the homosexuality rate has increased on black colleges, and the firm or strong black male image has been depleted. So I would ask again, as the brother gave good credit to you, Brother Raymond, and the program about the Afrocentricity of the black male agenda. From your perspective, Brother Brandon, you know, as our other guests on the call, how, you know, what was your experience with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan coming to Bowie? And tell us a little bit also of your experience with this organization, the Black Male Agenda. And welcome to Elevated Places.
Thank you, Hotep. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, sir. Hotep, who, brother?
Hotep, I appreciate it. It is a great honor to be here. And it, absolutely, being a part of Black Male Agenda, I'm actually a former vice president of this wonderful, illustrious organization. And the organization itself, through the leadership process, through the exposure of other great individuals, has definitely helped me do my matriculation in life. Through all assets, through my leadership styles, through my communication abilities, it has definitely created a holistic growth in my life, and it has done so for very many other people, not only on the campus of Bowie State University, not only those who are in the organization, but for those who the organization has touched on campus as well as off campus. And as to your point about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, my words cannot express the wonderful feeling, the wonderful excitement that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brought to the campus of Bowie State University. It was an absolutely electric, ecstatic atmosphere. The words, I can't find the words to properly articulate the feeling. I had the luxury of being on stage when the minister gave his address to the university. This is the first time I was able to get that close to the minister. I have heard him speak both at Howard University and the week before, prior to, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Both speeches were absolutely electric. The students loved the speech. I'm also Mr. Senior of the senior class 2012 to 2013, and even to this day, people still come up to me and tell me how much this speech impacted them, as the minister tailored his speech specifically to the college students, and how it impacted their lives, giving them different perspectives for those who have heard the minister and for those who have not heard the minister. The speech was great, as he talked about approaching your problems as a college student, both in the classroom and outside the classroom, with the mind or the mentality of a master, and that you are the master of the universe and everything comes from you. So therefore, if you were to even enter a problem with a shadow of a doubt, you are not entering the problem as you should be, because God has already planned out for you to be the master of everything, both inside and outside of the classroom. And that was an extremely powerful message to the campus of Bowie State University. It was widely accepted, again, from those who have both heard the minister prior to, as well as those who have not heard the minister at all.
Brother Brett, okay, so I just got fired up, almost started shouting, yelling. You done fired me up. Like, what didn't I get to Bowie State? And I say that to hear you articulate the words of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I can see it resonate in your soul that you have a mission greater than I think you even know, that you took those words to heart, and those that heard it took it to heart, and to see that the mindset was changed by what you heard, that, like you said, to go out in the world now as a master, not necessarily looking for a handout, looking for a job, but someone who is going to master not only these books in college and get that degree, but master your world and environment as you go out. So I'm glad Brother Jalil wanted you to be on this call. I really thank you for that that report. And I'm gonna come back to our guest, but we do have a caller, Brother Khalifa, that's on that had a comment. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Yes, thank you, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely. I just wanted to make a comment, and it's so powerful and impactful what the minister is doing, because he knows and understands that our college students, our high school students, even our young grade school students, is the seed bank of our nation. And he comes and gives them a jettison, a 2,000-year jettison back from their minds thinking of Jesus with robes and donkeys and dusty roads to Jesus as he is today, wearing suits like we do and understanding like we do and letting us know that we are and our students are masters of our own faith. And this does so much for them. It removes that, how can we say it, that genetically altered thinking that they have done in our students' minds. So this is why they're so excited and so fired up and want to hear him again, because he's done so much. Because a lot of the students, as they come into college, they still got that 2,000-year gap thinking of the Jesus back then, but he does it in one speech and brings them up current now. So that's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you, Brother Khalifa. And that sparks the question, and I know we got another caller on the line, and I'm coming right to you. But a question I want to ask to Brother Jalil and Brother Brandon. First, to you, Brother Jalil, as you see yourself, one, you know, you came from Howard and you saw the effects of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the students, but now as a teacher and having not only learned from the great institution of Howard University and also been a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, what do you see in the transformation or in the minds of our children when they get this knowledge, not just the regular knowledge of the world, but the knowledge that you give? What do you see in the faces of our children since you teach at a charter school? You know, what are they getting and what expressions are they giving back to you as you're teaching this information? And that same information or that same question will go to you, Brother Brandon. You know, as you heard the minister, what did it spark in you, and what has it changed in you and some of the things that you've heard the students talk about? But I want to go to you, Brother Jalil.
Yes. You know, the minister said at Bowie State that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are an invincible truth, meaning that they cannot be destroyed. Even under academic scrutiny, they hold their own. And so once the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is spoken, whether it's spoken in the classroom, whether it's spoken in the mosque, whether it's spoken in the streets, or whether it's spoken from an auditorium at a college campus, it immediately begins to transform the life of the person who's listening. One thing I noticed at Bowie State was that the minister, after a certain amount of minutes, you begin to see even the physical appearance of the students changing.
Mm.
The physical appearance of the students when they came in seemed a little gloomy. It seemed as though they were fatigued after a long days of work at school or after a long week of studying. It seemed as though they were a little fatigued after a week of partying for homecoming. But after the minister spoke, for I would say probably after the first 10 minutes, you begin to see an immediate transformation in their disposition. And the reason why I think that was because the minister started off acquainting us with the greatest of all knowledge, and that was the knowledge of self. The knowledge of self immediately began to make a transformation in their hearts and in their minds. And the knowledge of self changed, you know, their disposition, and it made them to see themselves not as an effect, but as cause. Students all over the country need to be acquainted with this message. Students all over the country need to be taught this message, because this message will transform them from employees, it'll transform them from victims, it'll transform them from tools of the enemy, it'll transform them from products of institutions into masters, as Brother Brandon pointed out.
That's very, very, very powerful, Jaleel. So, again, Brother Brandon, you kind of alluded and talked about some of the things and the transformity of the minister's words on yourself and the students. But how does all this tie into the program that you're part of, the Black Male Agenda? As it, how has this affected your mind or shaped your mind and your thinking as you see yourself, your people, and your future and the future of Black people?
Absolutely. I would like to say that the minister, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, was absolutely wonderful. And how this ties into Black Male Agenda is, as great brother Raymond Shorter addressed in his speech prior to the minister speaking, the values of Black Male Agenda have been directly aligned with the values of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it was set up that way as a model, not only for the minister as a person, but as the Nation of Islam as a whole, and how to uphold the African-centered principles of Mayat, and how to uphold the African-centered principles of life as you move forward in all aspects of your life through the truth, justice, righteousness, balance, harmony, order, and reciprocity. Those are the core principles, as well as brotherhood, that we instill into the members, as well as all those that we affect by the organization of Black Male Agenda. The minister is a great example or exemplifier of these qualities. So when he came to speak with the aid of Black Male Agenda, it was truly, truly divine in nature. As we can all relate, the principles of the minister, the principles of the organization, the principles of African centeredness are the same principles handed down by the Creator. All people who believe in the Creator, who seek to walk with the Creator, will align themselves with these principles. As the minister so elegantly put, that when one is a professor of knowledge, there is nothing that you shouldn't face or you can't face and overcome by using these principles and the teachings of not only the Creator but the Nation, as well as Black Male Agenda, simply as a catalyst for the principles that should have already been instilled. Does that answer your question, brother?
Oh, that definitely answers my question. And one of the things that Brother Jaleel stated, and I know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talks about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is a universal teaching. It was and is directed to the condition of the Black man and woman in the hills of North America, but it is a universal teaching for all. And when you brought in the issue of Maat, harmony, you know, reciprocity, truth, justice, and we know that woman holding in a scale that we see in the halls of justice is not a balanced scale, but we know the scale of Maat is, and I like how you tied the two, because we're not speaking a foreign language to one another. So the minister touches the Muslims, the Christians, our Afrocentric brothers, because there's but one truth and there's a universal knowledge that we all share. So I love how you expounded on that. But once again, we're here at Elevated Places, and our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad, is not able to be here with us, but we still want you to call in to 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And I want to take another caller. Our caller, Sister Brenda, would like to call. So welcome to Elevated Places, Sister Brenda.
Yes, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I have a question for the regarding two things. The brother that got off the line was saying was talking about the lynching. Is it possible that he can post that article he has somewhere? Or I know Brother Ridley said that he was if he would give it to him. I know I am what you would call a member of the circulation of articles that the research team gives. But another question I have regarding, you know, others that's talking about the manhood or the into manhood, I would like to know, what are you all planning to do as far as reaching out to the youth more so than just a message? Is there a plan for you all to do something within the community and not just the school?
Well, I will say this part as it relates to Blackmail Agenda, to reach out to the community. There are multiple things that we do. One of the things is to prepare other black men and black women to reach out to the community, so to groom them to go out and to help and to help our peoples. So it's more that preparation. Well, another thing that we end up doing besides going to schools and helping other ones and other type of venues that they need, we are on November the 17th hosting an African-centered youth conference in collaboration with ASCAT, the Association for Study for Classical African Civilization, at Bowie State University's campus, which deals with elementary school through college. Another thing is on March the 30th, 2013, we are collaborating with the National Black College Expo to bring them at Bowie State University's campus so we can help with recruiting black students to historical black colleges and universities, as well as doing any other venture that is needed that the peoples want to really help the youth, those who are older, and our elders. So it's a combination of all three levels, and that becomes our primary responsibility. So we go and serve the peoples in whatever is needed.
All right.
I would like to know, how can I help?
Well, we can get your information, and we can bond, because we're about networking. We're about networking the human black family together in particular, so we can end up working together to seeing what are some of the other things as a family that we can do to continue to help our people. So I can give you contact information if you need it.
Oh, yes, sir.
You can contact me at rshorter, the number 00, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
My name is Raymond Shorter.
Raymond Shorter, okay.
Yes.
Yes, sir, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I thank you for that answer, Brother Raymond. And one of the things, before I go to the next caller, we have a sister from Charlotte. But one of the things that I remember at my university is that we used to have the benefit of a college campus, you know, we have rooms. We have audience, you know, we have students that go to class, we have beautiful buildings that we utilize, and I know we used to have forums on here, we used to have different lectures on campus, and we would invite the community for free.
Yeah.
We would utilize the university funding, you know, to bring speakers and credible speakers and lecturers to the campus, and we would not charge the community and let them come. But at the same time,
absolutely.
I remember in this city, the campus was part of the community, and the community was part of the campus. There was no separation.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a concerted effort to disconnect the students from this campus. So when they come in town, they say, I'm not from here, but you're living here, and you're going to spend 4 years or 5 years here. So you must be a part of the community and get a part of that. But there has been a concerted effort to separate the students from the community, where you can find a ghetto within 5 miles of a black university, meaning that the information and knowledge that's trapped in these universities are not being utilized and helping the conditions of our people. So I'm glad that effort to reach out to the community is there so that we can do a lot of collaboration and that now people can see the scholarship that they will not get on the radio, that they will not get in TV, that you're pushing that program, and I appreciate that. But we do have a caller from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to Elevated Places.
And I kindly receive that. And brothers, I say thank you and send you love and assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Habarigani. Hotel. It simply was the good news. Hotel, right, brothers?
Hotel.
So listen, I'm just calling to tell you that I want to applaud you for a magnificent, blacknificent job that you're doing standing in the steps, the shoe steps of Sister Ava. And I do send her my regards. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I call because I have a concern, and I'd like to know, as Sister Brenda, I love her spirit, I would like to also help. But I want to tell you this. I want to share this with you. One thing is I have 3 nephews in prison, and I regret to inform you of that. And as much so, I surveyed them and asked them if they would like to go to Africa as a means of not only of repatriation, but I want to know, in realistic, as black males, why is there a lack of, maybe I'm not going to compose this sentence right, so don't beat me up, okay, brothers? But I want to say as best I can, how is black males, can I encourage you, or we encourage you to, with the epidemic high rate of incarceration, to request an immediate government return of our black men, women, and children that are incarcerated. Do you think at this time that's too much for you to, I'm not going to put that on you, because black men, I realize that when the messenger came with his revolutionary message to the black man of black supremacy, isn't that right? Brothers?
So what are you asking, Susan, so I can be clear on the question?
Yes, I was trying to give you a compliment. I'm just asking, would you consider, can we, think about as an agenda that we address the issue of returning, this country was built with all its murders and thieves out of England. Can we do the same thing they did to this country, return black men, black people back to prison as an option? Not if they don't want to, but as an option. And I'd like for you to think about that. And I thank you for taking my question. And I keep up the good work, brothers.
Can I step in with that one, brother?
Yes, you can, Dr. Ridley. Yes, you
okay.
can.
But, on the back of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, and now on the back inside cover of the final call, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been putting forth the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which includes that we believe that all of our people who are held in federal prisons should be released. So it's not anything, and not even released to go back to Africa, but to be released, period, because the whole system is unjust. And that as long as we're not citizens, really we should not even have to pay taxes. So if you go to the back of the inside cover of the Founding Call newspaper, this is something that Abba Elijah Muhammad has been preaching and asking for to express that really this is an illegitimate system. And we know that the drug war was really a war on black males, on black men. So it really is an illegitimate system, period. So really, they have no right to incarcerate us at all.
And, as Dr. Ridgely did say, one of the things that, we have to always remind ourselves that this process is a holistic process. So when we talk black male agenda, we're not talking non-black family. To help the black male agenda is helping the black family, and we know that there are multiple fronts that we have to fight on. We have to deal in the agriculture. We have to do the education. We have to do with our arts and culture, with the music and song and the dance that our people are engaging in. We have to deal with the engineering and sciences to help builders of our community. We have to deal with the Ministry of Defense so that we can be able to defend our community, trade and commerce, so we can do and deal with local and international trade. We have to deal with all of the ministries that the minister set up at the Millions More Movement for our people to engage in different processes. But that one of incarceration is a very necessary thing to deal with. And as Dr. Ridgely said, it is on the back page of the final call of what we want and what we believe. And that's something that we are looking at. And we do have a prison reform ministry that is working strong to help our brothers and sisters in there. And as Sister Dr. Ava talked about a couple of weeks ago about the court case of fighting to make sure that the Final Call newspaper is given to our brothers that's been locked down, and all they have to do is study and sharpen their minds. But that is an institution that we are looking at and considering. The time is getting upon us. It's, you know, almost an hour going by, but we do have one of our regular callers that calls in all the time. We thank you, sister, for your call. But our good brother, Brother Lewis, has a question for our panel, and I guess.
As-salamu alaykum. How y'all doing, family? Recently, brother, Minister Farrakhan quoted from the fall of America on the national elections, and it's on page 37, the last paragraph, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, "I still say, and I have said for many years, vote for Allah, God, to be your ruler, and come and follow me."
Right.
Our people are suffering, and they're very frustrated. And really, the minister has done something that no other man in the annals of history has ever done. We've never had a leader who had to maneuver through the landmines of social, the socially engineered system called integration, which is the most brutal system in the annals of history, because under segregation and slavery, we would attempt to run away from the enemy. But under integration, we always find a way to snuggle up and run to the enemy. And so it's really beautiful to see that a man who doesn't believe in integration is the preeminent leader of this time. And he's not saying go integrate with Pharaoh. He's saying come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her iniquities and her plagues. And so my question for the panel, in particular, Dr. Ridgely and all of them, since we're all suffering and we all see that this people is disagreeable to live with in peace, how important is the networking, the think tank, the studying together on ways that we can build our community using the young talent that is in these universities, integrate them to the black tradesmen who can work? How important, and have we considered, you know, doing that as follow-up meetings after the minister leaves our cities? And I'll listen. You're doing a great job, Brother Terrence and Brother Ridgely.
Dr. Ridgely?
Oh, I was going to let the guest deal with that, because, you know, on the farm, February 17th, we are having a group of people to come down to continue this process of dialogue about how do we go about setting up separate communities. So, I was hoping that the brothers, other brothers on the line, could talk to that issue in terms of follow up that we could connect with once the minister leaves and connect these dots. We got a brother down from he's from Howard. We got a brother and a Bowie. Now the brother from Howard is down in Raleigh. So we had to figure out some type of network that we can connect these dots and keep these dots moving.
So let me jump in here because I was going to pose this question after I took some more calls, but I guess this is an airy transition. But once again, I do want to say we are here at Elevated Places, and we thank our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, for setting up Elevated Places, who's not on tonight. But you can still call in at 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091, and callers that are already on, I am coming to you. But as Brother Lewis made that discussion about this separate territory of our own and separation and versus integration, I would ask the question, you can comment on what Brother Lewis asked, but as you also commenting, what are some of the things that you may doing as a follow-up after the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan has come on that campus of Bowie? And I know, Brother Jaleel, you do have some things that are in place as you have been connected with some of the college campuses as he just left Southern University as far as doing follow-up, because one of the things we as a people have a problem with is follow-up. We hear a dynamic message, we have a good speech, but we don't do anything to implement the words that we have. Are there any plans for follow-up of what the minister has said and to further this blackmail agenda or whatever you may have gotten from the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan? Brother Raymond, Brother Brandon, anyone? Brother Julia?
Well, I was going to let Brother Jaleel speak on that.
Yes, I would be happy to. You know, after the minister spoke on Friday, I spoke with Brother Raymond, and he expressed to me how excited he was about the outcome and about the minister's message. And I said to him, and he laughed, I said to him, you know, this was a great day, but the test of today will be tomorrow. Today is only as great as tomorrow will be, and so we have to plan to make today great by working tomorrow. And so follow-up is essential. Brother Lewis brought up some very, very important points, and there's so much to be said with reference to the need to separate and the need to pool the intellectual resources that are on black colleges and universities together. One thing that we have decided to do as an immediate follow-up to Minister Farrakhan's talk at Bowie State, and it is an effort that we are leading across the country wherever the minister is speaking, is to host a series of study groups where we parse the minister's lecture and analyze it, because much was said on Friday, much was discussed, much was spoken, and much, in fact, needs to be analyzed. And from the analysis, we can actually come together and develop an agenda, not only a black male agenda, but a black nation agenda.
That's right.
And that agenda has to have students at the center of it. You don't have a nation where you don't have students. In fact, you show me a nation that doesn't care about its students, that is not concerned about the cultivation of its students, and is not concerned about the development of its students, and I'll show you a nation that doesn't plan to exist. And so if the black nation is to survive, then students have to be at the center of it, feeding it, providing it the source of intelligence, and providing it the source of guidance and wisdom. And so over the next several weeks, we will be convening students who heard Minister Farrakhan at Bowie State and convening students who have heard Minister Farrakhan all over the country and hosting a series of workshops and study groups where we are actually parsing the minister's lecture, and in hopes after of developing a black national agenda where students are at the center of it. The last point that I would like to bring up is the issue of student debt. You know, the minister pointed out in his lecture that more Americans are in debt over student loans than they are in debt over credit cards. In fact, students in the class of 2011 on average graduated with $27,000 worth of debt. That's an issue. You can't talk about having a follow-up agenda if students are in debt, because debt is slavery. Students can't follow up on what Minister Farrakhan is saying after graduation if they are indebted to bill collectors and if they are indebted to credit bureaus. The enemy knows that debt is slavery, and the enemy knows that this generation of young people are the greatest generation that have been born, and he knows that this generation of students are the revolutionary students that are needed to bring us true liberation. But he also knows that liberation will not come if students are in debt, because if they are in debt, then they in fact are enslaved. And so the key to keeping movement from occurring is keeping students in debt, and that's another issue of follow-up that we will be addressing, because the freedom, the financial freedom of students will also guarantee the spiritual and mental liberation of our people.
Boy, Brother Jaleel, you just hit on something powerful. And yes, callers, I'm struggling. I'm coming to you. But one of the things that you just said, and it's very integral, it took me back to my childhood. And I remember standing in the church, and I told the congregation, I said, look, man, look. If you look at in your church, you know, you see the young people moving closer and closer back to the back of the church, and next thing you know, they're going to go right on out of the church. And I didn't know I was, in a sense, prophesizing me leaving. But I say that to say that wherever you have an organization, and I thought about this last night when I was at a church NAACP meeting, and I saw the crowd coming in. It was all older people, and I was like, well, you don't see young people in any organization, any church, any mosque, any synagogue. When you don't see young people, then you're looking at the death of your organization, because you need to have a new generation coming up, but not a new generation that just pops up out of a bubble, but they need to be in the planning, the understanding, and the cultivation. They need to be a part of it so it's a smooth transition into leadership and rulership. And as you said, if you're coming out of school with a good mind, but you're in debt, then you can't even use your God-given abilities of thought to do anything because you're so mentally concentrating on getting out of that debt. So I applaud the conversation the pastor and the minister were and working on that sort of consideration of getting people out of debt. And I was watching a program, I forgot the name of it, but it was the Marley Brothers in Ethiopia, and they were doing a concert, and it was a bunch of young people from around Africa, and it was Unite Africa, and Danny Glover told them that you must unite and use the young people's creative ways to do the things that these people have done, the city movements, the civil rights movements did in their days, that the young people have to find out the creative ways and energetic ways, and we now have social media to spread the teachers and knowledge and help our people. So young people are very, very integral, and as you said, Brother Jaleel, the enemy knows that it's been young people, and it's always been about the young people in the civil rights movements, any movement. Jesus was young, Martin Luther King was young, all of our revolutionary actions and things that we talk about came from young people, so we know the power of young people, and we want to make sure that they are recognized and given a place at the table, not as as a token, but as a viable force in the liberation of our people. We have Brother Eric. Oh, what did you say, Brother?
No, I was just, Brother Rich, I was going to say that if you look at the history, like you said, of the civil rights movement, there were two elements that they saw. They saw the students, and they also saw the landowners. The students were the ones who had the energy and the drive to go out and march and be put in jail, but it was the landowners who got them out of jail on bond. And
right.
So over this last 40 years, they have changed the removed those positive images of powerful black images off of the black campuses, in particular the black male images, the powerful ones, the ones who got the, you know, that black thing. And in the meantime, they also put the black farmers out of business and in debt. So right now you don't have that base of landowners that can come forth and put the land up for hawk to get the children out if they protested, and you don't have the leadership, the continuity of leadership on these black campuses, because when students come in, they're only in for 4 years and they're gone, but they remove those professors on those campuses that can continue the continuity of struggle and revolution. So they have worked on this scientifically, so now we must meet together like you all are talking, Brother Julio, to think scientifically in terms of instead of reacting, start being proactive and then move forward.
Yes, sir. So, Brother Eric, welcome to Elevated Places.
Hey, God bless you. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good, good. I'd like to ask you, brother, do you think there is a need for an organization dedicated to the upliftment of the black male, regardless of the members' faith, their fraternity, and profession?
Brother Raymond, Brother Brian?
The question is, do you think there's a need for a black male organization regardless of faith,
their faith and profession, and their sole purpose is for dedicated to the upliftment of the black male?
Well, I personally believe that, like, for example, for Black Male Agenda, the reason why we call it Black Male Agenda, because these are black males,
right,
or black men themselves, but their purpose is to work and collaborate with black women for the liberation and the salvation of the black family as a whole. So sometimes in many things, I believe there is a time when you need to get a specific group of individuals together, like black men, and get them focused. At the same time, that's That's half of it. The other part is the balance is for them to also collaborate with black women so the black family as a whole can get liberated. So not, I don't believe solely to just work with specifically black men per se, because I believe that you have to have black women to help with the process of the cultivation of black men, just like you have to have black men to help with the cultivation of black women.
Ninth exactly point, brothers.
Yeah, and I'd like to add on to that, is that if you go back to the African tradition of our development, we always had rites of passage for first for the men and the women separately,
right,
and then the whole group come together as a whole. Because there's certain things that men have to learn from other men.
That's right, absolutely.
So you have the black men training the young men. You have the black woman training the young woman. Then you have the whole society training the group. As a matter of fact, we married very early back then. Not the play school for 20-something years in play school, okay? We married, we were raised how to be men and women, and then married so we can begin to develop institutions and families instead of been left into a play ring for too long a period of time and get ourselves all messed up with both debt and children that we're not ready to take care of.
All right. I mean, I agree with both answers, and I agree with all the answers. And some of the days that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad set up, you know, the school system for our males and for our females. And I think also, as the brother asked, you know, when you're dealing with the black male agenda, you're not dealing with whether you have money or not, because the reality, as we see in America, regardless of what status you have, you're still a black man in America, and you're going to still suffer under white supremacy, whether you have money or not, young or old. But we have Brother Bilal on the call on Elevated Places. Welcome, Bilal, to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, family. I would like to, if I may, revisit what the sister was talking about the brothers in prison, because I spent 10 years in prison myself. And when I got out of prison, there's nothing, you know, in place for the prison. We're talking about a sovereign nation, and they're all part of our nation. Like right now in Pittsburgh, his brothers getting out of prison that's coming to the mosque, and we don't have nothing for them. They're in a halfway house. They can't come to the mosque on a regular basis. They can't, you know what I'm saying, do anything with their brothers. And you in prison, you're studying all the time. You got a solid cement walker. You got brothers around you all the time. But now when they get out of prison, they're right back into the hands of the white man, because they can't come to FOI class with us. They barely can come on Sunday meetings. We don't have no halfway house for these brothers coming out of prison. So I pose, what are we going to do? What can we put in place for these brothers to come out to a Nation of Islam, you know, setting far as a halfway house or something? Because we got to put something in place for them, because I keep hearing about Hurricane Sandy, even Hurricane Katrina, but no one is addressing what happens to the prisoners, you know what I'm saying, during a natural disaster or when they come home. Because they are a part of our family still, because some of these brothers are coming home registered in the Nation of Islam. So can someone please, you know, give me some light at the end of this tunnel?
Okay, can I address this? You know, we have the prison ministry. The brothers are allowed to come to the mosque. They're not kept away from the mosque, but you're talking about means. They don't have the means. And they don't have the means because we have yet in our cities developed job opportunities, because you find that most of the people in the nation are still to have jobs, and they can't give a brother a job on his job because we have yet to develop the businesses as the Honorable Elias Muhammad built. Right now, as a black farmer, the black farmers thought that we still had our Euro supermarkets. They thought that we still had our steak and take restaurants that we had when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was here. We don't have those yet. So it is Mr. Farrakhan is going to present to us. He's already told us he's going to present to us the blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over again, the economic blueprint, and he's going to ask us to participate so that we can, in fact, build those very things, brother, that we need in order to put our brothers to work, because the system is not going to put them to work, and yet we don't have the jobs because we have not developed the businesses yet to put our people to work, come out of college or come out of prison. So I do feel you, brother, and this is something that we're really going to have to speed up our progress so that we can, in fact, hire some people.
Yes,
For that call, because one of the things that Dr. Ridgely did say that the minister will be speaking at Savior's Day on the economic blueprint, because all of the things that we have been discussing, and one, you know, when our college students get out of a college, you know, do we have somewhere where we can employ them for our own nation and not for someone else's nation? Do we have the economics to employ? Do we have the jobs? As we are looking at this presidential election, and we know Minister Farrakhan said neither one of them, whether they're elected, Romney or Obama gets elected, can solve the condition of America or of definitely of black people. So what are we doing? What are we setting up? You know, if we have the black male agenda, as we hear Minister Farrakhan, you know, what are the things that we can implement? And I think that we have to remove the handicaps. So as our prisoners come out, you know, do we have these places? Do we have the economics to provide housing and jobs for them? And I think that's what we have to begin working on, the basic food, clothing, and shelter. We were not able to get into necessarily the presidential election, and we're coming on, I think, at least 10 minutes before the close of the show. I did do want to do this before I forget. We want to thank our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, for this show, Elevated Places, and we want you to call in next week. And if you have, we have maybe time for one more caller, call 347-324-5091. You are on Elevated Places, and call 347-324-5091. And we also want to thank on the team, our sister, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, our technical expert, our sister, Sister Rona Muhammad, that handles our production schedule, and our guests, and also our researcher, Brother Bobby. And we thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for coming on. We also want to give the opportunity, as we're closing out, for Brother Raymond, Brother Brandon, or Brother Jaleer, if you had any last comments on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's visit, or maybe even on this upcoming presidential election that's, you know, last day for election, November 6th, or to vote, did you have any comments that you wanted to leave us with about the minister's visit or this upcoming election, anything that you may have to say before we close out this show in a few minutes?
I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate all of you. This is an absolutely wonderful discussion. For my last point, I just want to reiterate the importance of the think tanks that we discussed earlier. After the Honorable Minister Farrakhan will be leaving, we will be participating in think tanks here on campus of Bowie State University for the betterment of the black community as a whole. My last point is just to the prison system. The importance of these think tanks is to limit the amount of young people that we have in the prison system. And because of the prison system and the design, the structure of the prison system, as detailed in the book, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, she speaks about how the prison system is strategically and institutionalizing, removing our black men and black women from society during their prime years where they have their most success in creation. And once they're able to leave the prison complex, they are still subjected to our discrimination within the society. The think tanks should be directed to the destruction of this system and then the formation of a new system in which we can more freely operate and express our creative minds and our creative talents in all aspects. I thank you all, and I appreciate this. This is an absolutely wonderful experience.
Yeah, we thank you, and we thank you for the work that you're doing there at Bowie State with the students. And I'll also encourage you, as Dr. Ridges said, the continuity, you know, encourage the upcoming freshmen and sophomores to get involved. And as they become juniors and seniors, that they do the same, get the freshmen and sophomores involved so the continuity of the programs and the agenda that you set forth at the college will continue long after you leave. Brother Raymond, any comments that you may have?
Well, I want to make a few quick points. On one, that as the minister, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has always stated, that we know President Obama was not elected, but he was selected. So we need to make sure that at the same time that we pay attention to and the treatment that has been given upon him in a negative light, him and his family, and we have to protect our brother. At the same time, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in my opinion, is the greatest man alive. And I believe with all my heart that everyone on the planet needs to know him, to analyze him, and to follow his teachings of truth and righteousness. And I want to thank all of you. And it's always good to be part of a good family who speaks about truth. And so I am honored and a pleasure to be amongst all of you.
Well, you know, I thank you. And I really want to really, really honestly thank you for the work that you're doing, because it is very
much so
hard to find good advisors on a black university college campus. And I say that is because sometimes the students that are very energetic, very conscious-minded, and when they want to step out on ideas that may not be part of the norm or the university policies, that they do have a good advisor that backs them up, not only just securing rooms, but also giving them advice and giving them strength, because sometimes a black college is very hostile to black consciousness.
Yes, sir.
So I know there's some firsthand experience on multiple colleges that when black consciousness, you know, it's almost seemed like black consciousness is trying to be stomped out on black college campuses. So to be an advisor of any conscious movement in the back of students is a great job and an admirable job, because we know that if you don't have tenure at some universities, you risk the loss of your job by supporting those that may have a different mindset than that other university. And they just may have a free mind and an imaginative mind to do something for the people. So I thank you, and we honor you for your work there at Bowie State, and we ask that you continue in this struggle and liberation for our people.
I'm honored.
And we're honored by your presence. Brother Jaleel.
Yes, Brother Terrence, you said something very, very important just now. When you were talking about the effort to destroy students on college campuses, you know, there was a term that was coined in the 1970s at the height of the Vietnam War. And the term was America Eats Its Young. America Eats Its Young.
Oh.
And, you know, Minister Farrakhan is doing something that no other black leader, no other leader in recent times has done, and that is he is acquainting students all over the country with their own value. Their own value. You know, he is challenging the distinction that there is a distinction between God and man. And when he was at Bowie State University, he declared in front of an entire audience that in the midst of saying that he was mathematics, in the midst of saying that he was the change, in the midst of saying that he was biology, in the midst of saying that he was the past, present, and future, he told them that I am God. And not only was he God, but that they were gods too. You know, so in exchange, and as a result of making that statement, Brother Terrence, he empowered students to be God and to take the responsibility for their lives, to take responsibility for their communities, and to take responsibility ultimately for the entire planet. And so I would encourage those who heard Minister Farrakhan to be like God. I would encourage us all to be like God and to take responsibility. That is the greatest characteristic of the Creator. He takes responsibility for everything. And the students at Bowie State and the students who have heard Minister Farrakhan on this college tour, we must come together, pool our intellectual resources, mobilize and strategize on how we can make wrong right and how we can spread freedom, justice, and equality from one corner of this globe to the other.
Brother Jaleel, you just said some powerful words.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, and for those that don't understand, you know, to be a god means that you have force and power, and that you have the force and power to move yourself in your God-given direction and destiny, and as well as your people. So, you know, that's a powerful thing when someone puts in your mind that you are responsible for your destiny and that you can control your destiny and that it's not relied upon a government, as we're waiting to see who's going to be the president of these United States, and as though they have the power to change your lives, even though they can impose policies, but ultimately you are the god of your destiny and you have the force and power to move out as you will. I don't want to forget to let everyone know to go to avaspeaks.com. That is avaspeaks.com to get her book, Real Love, and other lectures and books by our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, on this wonderful show, Elevated Places. We will be here next Thursday, and we want you to call in at 347-324-5091 or go to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. That's blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be at Tennessee State tomorrow night in Nashville, Tennessee. You can go to NOI.org to see the live broadcast. I think the time is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Once again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking on the campus of Tennessee State in Nashville, Tennessee. And we don't want you to not have the copy of the lecture at Bowie State. So go to store.finalcall.com, store.finalcall.com, and get your copy of the lecture that he just made last Friday at Bowie State. And once again, on behalf of Dr. Ava Muhammad and the Elevated Places family, we thank you once again for being here. Thank you, Brother Raymond. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Thank you, Brother Jaleel, and our brother, Dr. Ridgely, for once again tuning in to Elevated Places. And God willing, we will hear from you on next week. Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Thank you for listening to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us every Thursday here on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you are a member of our Blog Talk Radio family and you enjoyed the show today, mark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, the new era will be feminine in nature.